This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's just say every episode we've done this far hasn't been fun. Let's give a warm welcome to Zach Dunn.
You're alienating him right off the top. You're making it seem like it's him versus us or something like that.
No,
we're supposed to, like, you know, bring him into the fold in a nice, friendly manner, but you're like sort of antagonizing it.
I don't think he feels that way. Zach, do you feel that way?
No, it feels like a lot of pressure. Like, it feels like you're saying it hasn't been fun, and then now it all kind of lies on me to make it fun.
Pressure.
But
right.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. I'm up for the challenge. I'm happy to be here with you guys. Nice to be here.
Okay, let's take it again then. Let me think of another rhyme. Everything up until this point is unusable, but starting now, the show becomes
feasible.
And then I'll kind of pitch shift it in post to make it rhyme.
Like a slant rhyme.
A what?
A slant rhyme.
Let's really get into this. So, Zach, you are a writer on What We Do in the Shadows. So we wanted to bring you on because everyone at HeadGum can't get enough of this shit, dude. Right?
Oh, that's nice.
We're watching it week to week. We're binge watching it, banking eps in a way, writing our own specs. Mariko wrote one. And this whole episode is going to be you doing a sample pitch.
Perfect. I mean, look, I think that's great. So you're binging it and watching it week to week?
So somehow we figured out this system where Pyle hasn't finished it. I've already finished it. But in a way, we're all kind of binging it, as in we can't get enough of it. That's what I meant to say.
Right. But binging has a very specific meaning that, like, now in the modern parlance, when talking about a TV show. So I don't know. I don't think that's the best way to say that.
Okay. Well, that brings me to our first segment. That brings us to our first segment. Amir, COVID updates? COVID-19 in Los Angeles County?
What about him? Like, record highs today in terms of cases, deaths, hospitalization. So, but everything is bad, getting worse.
Okay. And there's no vaccine on the horizon. Because I was watching something on Reuters, actually, and Fauci was saying by December or January, we should have one approved for emergency use. And I can't help but feel like this is an emergency in a way.
Of course it's an emergency, but I wouldn't bank on anything. 5, 6, 7 months away, another 5, 6, 7 months to roll it out. Who knows how effective it'll be. Don't think of it as like a light at the end of the tunnel. It's the halfway point, and we can't even see that from here.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
I feel like we started this episode out on the wrong note. I shouldn't have started with COVID update because this is a comedy show.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. So, ask me something a little more lighthearted, I guess.
Okay. How's your...
4,000 cases in LA. I said record high, but I didn't specify.
4,400, I think.
2,000.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, but we have like a lot more to grow too. There's no reason to think it's going to slow down anytime soon.
Okay.
All right. Ask me the question.
I feel like we should move on because I feel like I can't... Now I'm in this headspace where I can't think of anything lighthearted to say.
I like the feasible thing. You said everything has been unusable, but now it'll be feasible.
Feasible,
or something.
Something like that. Yeah. I can't quite remember. So what this show is to you, Zach, and to everyone who's listening, because I can't help but feel like we're going to get a weird spike in numbers this week. New listeners, you know, kind of growing the show in a way. Is we try to...
I have that effect on a lot of shows.
Yeah. You do numbers.
Immensely popular.
I kind of hit you guys with some conversation enders in a way, and then you kind of have it to dodge it and navigate it. What it was originally supposed to be was an inside look, an inside scoop on the podcast network of HeadGum. But Marika, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's a really good description of what this is. Conversation enders that you have to dodge.
Pyle,
that you start with.
I'm drinking a Pyle driver, which is Andrew Pyle here is our CTO. He built the Vimeo player, and he also built the Pyle driver, which is a mocktail consisting of pamplemousse, LaCroix, and lemon juice.
And bitters. And
I didn't do the bitters.
You forgot the bitters?
I don't have bitters. I'm at home right now.
Grapefruit That's what makes already, it a mocktail.
It's already pretty bitter if it's grapefruit and lemons, right? You have to also make it bitterer. It's not bitter enough.
It's sour, and then you want to add depth to it, I think, Pyle, you said. It adds depth to it?
Yeah, it adds depth to it.
What are you drinking now? It looks like a new mocktail.
No, it's a Pyle driver.
Why do ours look so different?
It's dark and cold because you didn't add the bitters.
I know.
Yeah, it has bitters in it. That's why it's red.
Peychaud's or?
Angostura.
Angostura.
Okay. I have tiki bitters that I've been using in my Pyle drivers, and I don't think they're good. I don't think they're what it should be intended to taste like.
What does it taste like?
Like clove?
Do all bitters have that weird ill-fitting label, or is that just a specific brand? Where it's just the papers coming off the bottle?
It's just Angostura. It's like the trademark thing. You can't, like, we can't copy that.
I guess I'm bitter about that. Like, find the paper that fits the bottle. It shouldn't be loose at the top like that. That's not an interesting thing about it.
Amir has slatted blinds, and it looks like you're in a detective
movie. We really
should
talk about this.
But it's so bright.
It's cool. I think it's cool.
Thank you,
Zach.
Your
shirt looks striped. Your arms look striped. I mean, I'm loving it.
It looks like
you just took one of those whiteout like roller things and just went across your entire body.
Yeah, I like to imagine that it's nighttime where you are, but you've kind of you've faked it. You're doing day for night or night for day. Yeah,
there's a really powerful light on the other side of these Venetian blinds.
So Zach, you write for What We Do in the Shadows, as we said.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to be defined by? You have a beard.
Oh, wow. Just like in my life. Yeah, I have a beard, but I don't always. Sometimes I shave, you know. We went to college together. I don't think that defines me, but it's definitely a factor.
It's a relationship
relevant.
Factor. Yeah.
It's a relationship factor. We did go to college together. I was a senior when you were a freshman.
Correct. We did improv together.
But we did improv together. You know, other than that, I guess that, I don't know. I sometimes have a beard. I think I'm fairly meek as a person.
In stature or convictions?
Both. I have really bad posture, which I know doesn't always come across on a podcast. So now I'm glad everyone can picture me as just kind of a hunched over.
No, I'm trying to sit up.
In a young man's
I think it comes across somehow.
Oh, okay, good. I clarified then.
So we went to college together. I've watched you kind of flourish and blossom in a way. Since then, you've been a bachelor of arts, fine or otherwise, and then now you're gainfully employed. And I'm at a loss for employment in a way. So, like, I think that's the opposite of gainful. Marika?
I don't know what the opposite is. You're not.
Right.
You're getting paid to
your
do
job.
This.
This is your job's happening right now.
Right. No. Okay, that makes sense. Amir, you left college. You ended up working at College Humor. Zach, you left college. Now you're working at What We Do in the Shadows. Marika, you left. You have Chicago, which is basically an Ivy, right?
Yeah.
Pyle, you built Vimeo, so I can't help but feel like I need to like find my niche. You know.
I don't know how those are related.
It seems like you're trying to say you're not happy where you're currently at. Your coworkers. I'm an outside observer here. I don't want to be in the middle of anything, but it just feels like you're just telling your coworkers and sometimes your bosses that you don't
want to. He does every conversation backwards. He starts with how it should end. He asks a question, no one answers, and then he just answers it because it was a rhetorical thing that he just wanted to talk about, and then no one has any comments because it's usually like really sad or offensive, and no one wants to jump in and be like,
yeah.
Either taken to task or associated with the comment.
This show ruins my appetite. Like, I arrive hungry and I leave nauseous and full, but I don't eat anything along the way.
Is that why you look sort of like frail? Because a lot of people have been gaining weight in quarantine, but you feel like you're kind of a whisper now.
Yeah. It's hearing you talk. It makes me car sick, even though I haven't been in a car today, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. But that's why I'm kind of.
Your motion to me. Yeah.
Is that this?
Yeah, you're kind of like, I don't know.
Motion
sickness.
It feels
like you're giving me motion sickness or something. Yeah.
All right. Well, then everybody strap in. Good segue, Amir. because now we're going to really get into it. All right. Rapid fire time to Zach. Any questions regarding what we do in the shadows? I'll start us off. What character is the most fun to write for? And you, there's no pressure here. Just kind of.
That's a good question. I guess I was expecting kind of a joke question, but that's just kind of a nice, normal question. Now, my answer, I guess, is also going to be boring. I think the most fun is Nandor. I think that they're all. I mean, look, it's a job. I feel very lucky to have. The actors are so funny. It's insane. They make everything. Like, I guess that's like, I feel like a cliche people say, but they improvise a lot. They make everything much funnier. And he's just so funny. His delivery of everything. He was definitely the person, because I started writing on it for season two, the season that just aired. And that was definitely the person I was most excited to write for. And it felt great. Just whatever. Being able to hear lines you wrote coming out of his voice and doing that silly, cute accent he does.
Yeah.
So he's my favorite. But they're all great.
And we should say that you wrote the Superb Owl episode.
Yes, yes, with my writing partner, Jake, yeah. Jake
Hurwitz.
Yeah. I don't know how to, I wasn't sure how to bring it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we talk about it?
Shocking to learn.
It's not like an exclusive partnership thing. I don't know.
Not anymore, yeah.
So you wanted it to be exclusive?
It's up to Amir, honestly. Like, I'm chill. Amir seems upset.
I'm just learning, about all this at once, and it's hard to, sorry about that.
What was that? Are you listening
I was downloading something, and I guess it finished downloading as I was recording, and then it auto-played in my iTunes. So it was like a podcast starting during a podcast. And for like a few brief seconds, this podcast was slightly better because it meant that there was another podcast about to happen. And I turned it off, and now I have to fucking talk to you again.
What show was it?
It was a yet-to-be-released HeadGum podcast.
Is it? I mean, we can talk about it. Is it?
We obviously can't. That's why I said a yet to be released HeadGum podcast.
All right.
So like the reason I was being like, don't say all right, because you still don't get it. The reason I was being like a little cagey and coy is because I didn't want to say whose podcast it was. Okay. I know you're going to say all right, but you still don't get it. I don't want you to say, don't nod like you say you got it. Yep. I see you're nodding. You're mouthing namaste. Do not say the name of the show starting now. That's all you have to hear. Don't say the name of the show. I'm sorry.
Hosting it. That's not the name of the show. You said don't say the
Ferris
name of the
cut
show.
Cut this out.
Ferris, keep this in.
Please bleep it.
Keep this
always
in, Ferris.
Constantly bleep it. No, do not keep it in. Don't keep it in. And now I have to fucking listen to this entire episode again just to make sure that you're going to bleep this. Bleep that part. Cut this part.
I thought you listened every week.
Start from the top. No, I do listen every week. I have to listen before it comes out to make sure that that part's not in there, if that makes sense. I'd listen before it comes out. I have to listen now because I have to listen to you.
Sure.
I'm sick and tired. Then I have to listen before it comes out, which is like another layer of listening to this shit that I don't want to do. Because I don't know if you might like edit that part into a different part. So I have to like go over it with a fine tooth comb. Then I have to listen when it's actually online. So you're again, you're pointing and nodding like you got it. You don't got it. You fucked up. You're going to fuck up again. Move on, and I'll deal with it later.
No, that's actually a good idea. The idea of kind of taking the audio, what you didn't want me to say, in context. In context, you didn't want it. So if I put it after the ad break, suddenly, bingo, bango, we're cooking with gas.
I'm to blame for this. I'm sorry to everyone else. For you.
Second question about what we do in the shadows. What inspired the Superb Owl episode? Was that like a bit that you did with Jake? Is that like...
Another just banger of a question. Thank you so much. we broke the whole season as a room in New York. I was living in New York for a little bit. That's where we were doing it. And it was not our idea, the episode. It was like most of the episode ideas are kind of like the room comes to them. And then I believe, Marika Sawyer, who's a really incredible writer who wrote for the show, pitched. We were talking about them going to Super Bowl party, and I believe she pitched the Superb Owl thing. Now I guess people are like saying that it's like the Reddit joke, which like we all knew that it was a stupid whatever. It's fine. But
no, anyway, let's really get into it.
No, let's get really into it. No, I don't know. I think it was fine. I think I was more nervous about it. I don't know. People being like, this joke's been done before, and we're just trying to do it in a very stupid different way for a second. But anyway. So that was it. But we were very excited to do that episode because it's kind of a like very sitcom-y episode that's all about like their neighbors and has less like supernatural and like vampire stuff. And we were like, oh, we could just write about like stupid Staten Island people. So
the joke of the fact that like Nadja, that she's known their grandmother since she was like five, but then plays it off as elder abuse.
That was our favorite thing to work on. And that was really fun. The old lady was very sweet. She's in the movie Joker.
Really?
Whoa.
The woman who plays, that's a little exclusive here. I mean, it's on IMDb where someone to look, but hearing me say it isn't exclusive to this podcast. She plays the other guest on the Robert De Niro's talk show.
That's the only scene of Joker I've seen.
It seems like the one to see, right?
Yeah, well, because of De Niro.
Right.
And I'm all about it. De Niro, and I've seen a lot of his stuff, so.
That's awesome. How many of his movies have you seen?
You know, I don't count, you know, because it's not about the number of movies he's been in, which is impressive, but it's more about the art of it all. So feel free to shoot me any, like, De Niro trivia, and I'll get it perfectly. At any time throughout this episode, this can be, like, a runner in a way, Marika.
How many movies has he made?
Hmm?
You said he's made an impressive number of movies. How many has he made?
Well, it's like beyond, and I know the answer. I just don't want to give it away. It's like no spoilers.
Okay.
Because right. Like kind of like what?
I'll guess, and you tell me. We'll guess if you know the answer.
Okay.
38.
No, it's not that.
Higher or lower?
Well, if I give you that answer, it's like kind of a gimme, but it's higher.
39.
No.
300.
It's not. It's less than 300, but that's a good guess. Okay.
98.
Hang on.
Why?
So you're looking up the answer.
It seems like you're looking it up.
Your computer lit up. You're typing. Yeah. We can hear you typing.
No, this isn't. I'm Googling. Hang on. I'm trying to set a reservation.
So that's impossible.
That's even more embarrassing right now. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a good idea.
It's a camping reservation for next year.
Okay. Where?
It's Yosemite, but this doesn't feel pertinent to the show, especially this segment, which is supposed to be what we do in the shadows questions.
Definitely something you shouldn't be doing during the show, exactly.
You did say hang on. You told us to hang on.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't talk amongst yourselves.
Well, you were playing a game.
We kind of can't.
121 movies. 121 movies has he been in, at least, I think.
Yeah.
You at least, so 122?
No, at least 121, as in there might be more that he's, like, wrapped in a way, or is in production in. But, you know, any quick Google search will, like, confirm that I said that.
But you weren't doing a Google search for that. You were setting up a campsite for next year at Yosemite.
I was joking about the camp reservation. It was a dinner reservation.
Yeah. Where?
Yeah. Okay.
It was... Give me a second.
Yeah, so you have to... You should you know
remember
this.
With it, yeah.
It was at Gracias Madre, which is a... Sorry. It's a restaurant in West Hollywood, California, serving farm-to-table vegan fare.
You didn't
what
know.
What is it for?
You were just looking it up. Like, so you're saying you got the reservation and then you figured out what the restaurant was after?
Well, it was going to be...
aren't you in Ohio?
What's that?
Aren't you in Ohio?
Yeah, I am. Huh? This reservation is for... Okay.
I'm gonna look it up. Do not look it up again.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, my social battery is starting to come back, I have to say, because... You know, we're all less social in the winter, habitually, and I feel like I've sort of charged up for a summer of filling my cup. But it can be easy to ignore our social battery altogether and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter, like I said. What's the right amount of socialization for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm in therapy every week. It definitely helps me rearrange my priorities so that I can prioritize my social battery and making sure I have that time to recharge, which I need. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/whatsthat today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/whatsthat Thanks, BetterHelp.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
This is the third What We Do in the Shadows writing-related question. Do you have any regrets?
So you're saying specifically to that show?
It can, in any regard.
Anything? Ooh, a lot. I'll keep it to the show. I'll try to.
Okay.
You know, the show shot in Toronto.
It is?
And,
I did not know that.
There's another exclusive for the podcast. The show's shot in Toronto, and I went there for a week when they were shooting our episode, and I kind of regret, I feel like I should have stayed a little longer and to, like, get to know Toronto a little bit, to walk around Toronto and learn about it. I feel like I spent, like, 3 hours getting to know Toronto, and I feel like I wasted my opportunity.
What did you do in that 3 hours?
I went to a dim sum restaurant, and I went to a museum.
Hmm.
Classic Canada stuff, right?
It's like all indoor activities for a city that you wanted to explore and learn about.
Well, there you go. There's kind of the core of my regret.
Yeah, it makes sense. You should be sad about that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Amir, I sent you an email about next week's content meeting. If you could just respond while we kind of do this next question.
It's almost 9 p.m. Eastern time right now.
I know, but
which
I'm
means
just,
it's seven. No, sorry, six p.m. So it's after work hours.
It's 5:55. So he has 5 minutes to respond, and it's not going to affect
the
show.
For something
because Ferris
it's also
will cut
for something
this out
next week, so it could have waited to
and
not.
And you want me to do it right now?
I would love an answer. Yeah, now it's 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So if you could just, this one's about the podcast
again. Another one you can't mention. Don't say anything out loud about the network. We gave you this show. You have to keep things vague. You can't say the other person's name. You can't say this person's name. Bleep it
These
all.
These are some exciting new podcasts. I just...
Yeah, exactly. They would be. They should be. And you're sort of leaking the information out in a really unproductive way. So, sorry, Zach, you had to hear that. And I shouldn't be this rude to Jeff, but like he literally doesn't understand unless I like lay it out like this in plain English. And even then,
I get low
expectations. Yeah.
I support you.
Cut that name out.
The last host. And this is the last host that I'll kind of out in a way. But you said
don't
be vague. You said be vague. You said be vague. So I'll be vague. Her name
be so
is
vague
two
that...
cities. Her name is two cities. So okay. The first name is.
It's not. Yeah. This isn't a guessing.
And then her
game.
Last name is like.
Blank. Don't use any of this. Don't use any of this.
Okay. Got it.
There we go.
I was
another
getting
name
there.
That we. You know, we cannot. We again. Don't use any. Yeah. I mean, none of this has been useful.
This show's been about 15 minutes long. Thus far,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, usually it's like we record for like, just so you know, Pyle. We go for like 95 minutes and then we cut it down to about an hour.
Nice.
I've actually been on the show before. I don't know why I'm on this time.
Because you watch Shadows. You said you wanted to be on this episode.
Jeffrey, it seems like your friends don't care about Shadows, and that's okay.
I do care about snatch at us.
Yeah, and then you're not even letting Andrew talk. You brought him on the show. You have a writer on the show. You said, I brought him on because he's a big fan. But so far, you've led the entire conversation. You haven't said anything.
It's not a dictatorship. Anybody can chime in whenever they want.
Barely. When did they come up with the the art cutaways to pictures that or sketches of their past lives and things like that? I'm wondering, is that in the script or how does the how does that work? Because it's some of the funniest stuff to me when they cut away to the various pieces of art.
I agree. They do such an insanely good job finding stuff. I think sometimes it's in there, but it's usually pretty vague when it's in the script. It's we see some images of whatever, an old creepy looking vampire. And then sometimes it'll be nothing. And then it just is figured out in the edit and just whenever they're in the talking head, I think they like to try to layer in over images and other videos to try to keep it more dynamic and stuff. But yeah, I guess there was a picture, I think, in season one that I remember people talking about that was people having sex, and it's a circle of people having sex. It's probably for the orgy episode. Yeah. And there's a penis, whatever. It's a big circle. And I think they were talking about how whatever the art department found that picture, and it was a really exciting day. And I think we were excited that FX didn't blur it. They just aired that picture.
So some of it is found artwork that exists, and then some of it's created for the show specifically.
Yeah, I think that probably for those, most of it is found, unless it's specific to the characters or maybe it's edited to feature the characters. But as I answer this question, I'm realizing I might not know the answer. I just want to make clear, I'm a low-level writer on this show. I'm not involved in that much of the decision-making and stuff like this. So there's a chance that everything I'm saying is wrong and stupid.
This isn't a question. I just wanted to shout out some of my favorite lines from your episode that I knew that you wrote.
Wow, this is a fun podcast. People are just being nice.
Well, again, anyone can chime in at any moment. The one where he's nice work, pimp. Is it just me or is this guy a total pimp? So that's nice. Actually, just for context,
thank
and
you,
this Jeffrey. This will be a spoiler alert, but basically, Guillermo Gizmo becomes, and we might have to bleep this out, and I'll talk to Ferris about it. But he meets with a group of vampire killers, right?
The show's been out for months. Who cares?
Well, I've been making all my friends watch it. And
you really have.
Oh, that's sweet, Jeffrey.
Which
Thank
brings
you.
Us to our last Shadows question before I open the floor. Why should people watch this show? What's the why now?
Wow.
Why is it
the why
moment?
Now? I mean, there's never been a more topical or important show. I don't know. I mean, they shouldn't. It doesn't matter. There's a million more better things they should do. But I think it is silly and funny. I think that it's fun. They'll have a good time. It's a little scary if you like that. I mean, it's got something for the whole dang family. You know what? People should watch this show.
Easy.
And I hope they enjoy it.
You're standing
it.
Up.
And fuck every other show. Seriously, fuck those shows.
Well, there are some other good shows.
Devs, you know? I mean, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
No, that one's good. Fuck, both of those are pretty good.
John from Cincinnati, you know? People need to be watching...
That one's 14 years old.
Kind of a deep pull, but...
It's a 15-year-old HBO show, right?
People are watching it. You're not going to convince me no one's watching that right now. When they could be watching What We Do in the Shadows.
So now you're mad that people are watching...
I'm feeling pissed off because you've kind of built me up during this podcast. And I said in the beginning I was meek, but now I'm feeling so confident from all this stuff. And I'm feeling fuck these people that are... out there watching camping or whatever. Yeah. It's just not, they should be watching What We Do in the Shadows.
They can do both because the show will eventually end. They'll run out of episodes of camping to watch and then they can watch Shadows.
I mean, rewatch them. I don't know. What? Now I'm pissed. I'm sorry, guys.
I'm sorry. No, you can take a minute. I guess this is the perfect time to segue into our next segment, which is something Nicholas Sparks wrote, or a child explaining how fruit works. So what I'll do, this is sort of like a mini game. And so I'll kind of tell you guys, I'll give you guys a quote, and then it'll either be something that Nicholas Sparks wrote or said, or it'll be a tween or a toddler or anything in between talking about berries.
How did you source the quotes from the children?
those were mostly things that I've like just heard the little buggers say. You know, I was a babysitter in high school. And
okay, you remembered them, you like wrote them down.
Yeah, so let's just say these are all paraphrased. And even some of the Spark stuff, I might be fibbing a little bit.
Okay.
Number one, romance is thinking.
We just shouted out if we know the answer. Is it like you're going one by one? Is it?
Let's go one by one.
Someone?
Let's go one by one because there are some like turns in some of these where you think it's Sparks and it's actually a friggin' 8-year old.
Got it.
Number one, romance is thinking about
one by
your
one. Like, are you going to tell someone? Are you going to call on someone? Or are you going to say, okay?
We say it, and then we all come to a consensus, or you guys kind of just like shout it out. It doesn't matter. But let me get it out first.
Not, okay.
Number one, romance is thinking about.
So
your
not one by one.
Sorry, right?
One by one. You said let's do one by one, and now you want all four of us to sort of yell the answer.
One by one quotes. And then we all come to a consensus. One by one quotes. And then you can shout it out.
We all, including you, you know the answer.
I'm not playing.
Yeah,
I'm the
kind
host.
Of consensus. I see. So a consensus amongst the four others
okay.
in the room.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Romance is thinking about your significant other when you are supposed to be thinking about something else.
So that's obviously Nicholas Sparks. It's a small child. You have to clap because a small child
so
wouldn't
fast.
Be saying significant
also,
other.
We also didn't come up with a consensus. You just sort of
right.
gave it away as soon as.
Like I would have said the same thing, but I didn't really have a chance.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. Consensus.
And I also, it would have been like a fun little healthy debate if I was trying to convince the group about the fruit, but
yeah.
you sort of got rid of that.
As another potential host. Sorry.
No, you're not.
Marika says Sparks. Do we agree?
Yeah.
Correct.
Obviously, you clapped.
Yeah.
Correct. That one was Sparks.
Yeah, you clapped.
Two. This is the second one. So, a strawberry is red and sweet, but don't eat the green parts.
I mean,
fruit, the kid fruit thing. Well,
yeah,
I think.
A child said that.
Because the other option is Nicholas Sparks talking about anything or love, or like Sparks can also be referring to fruit.
Sparks might be talking about fruit. You don't know what his views are in terms of his diet and stuff. Sparks, like, he eats clean. Obviously, he eats clean because he's kind of made some money and he's been there, done that. He obviously lives in the Pacific Northwest. He did The Notebook. I think he did Sleeveless.
He doesn't just live. I have a Sparks story, not to derail too much, but he's
no,
from
please.
He's from North Carolina, where I'm from originally, and he like owns a weird school called Epiphany.
Epiphany, yeah.
That's my middle school would play basketball against the Nicholas Sparks school, and they were the only school we'd always beat. They really suck.
Wow.
But they were really good at love.
They knew about love.
All of their first kisses were amazing.
They knew about, tales as old as time and kind of, yeah. But I don't know where you got this info about Pacific Northwest. I think that...
Because The Notebook takes place in, I think, Seattle, right? So I just imagine that he would have had to have at least spent a time there to have known about the city
enough to
set a book there.
For sure. So anyway, I think we all do think it's the fruit one.
This is a child explaining how fruit works, yeah. Mm-hmm. Number three, love is like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. This one's a tough one.
Can you explain why this is a tough one?
I cannot, because that would give it away. That would give it away. Don't overthink it. I'll just say that.
I'm not thinking about it at all.
Who do you think it is then?
It's clearly Nicholas Sparks because like the game that you set up is that it's either a Nicholas Sparks quote or a child talking about fruit. So obviously if one of the quotes is not about fruit, it's going to be the other option.
I don't know.
You have to make that face. I mean, this is what maybe someone else disagrees with me, but.
No, I agree. I don't know why Jeffrey did. I don't know why you did this, Jeffrey, this whole game.
This is something that I've had in my back pocket for a while, and I was saving it for a special occasion. So I actually resent the implication that this was like an afterthought and that I wrote it at 8:23.
I didn't feel like you're projecting that onto me because you feel that way. And I was just asking you why you did it.
So we agree it's Sparks?
Yeah.
Okay. Number four.
You're not saying whether it's right or not.
That one was Sparks. I almost got you guys with that the comment about how it was a tough one. This is number four. Bananas start green but end brown. Bananas start green.
No, we heard you. We heard you. We heard that. That was don't repeat it like we were fucking floored by that and that we needed to hear it again. We don't know how to act around you anymore. So that was the pause. It was an introspection.
An answer. Anybody
it's
an answer.
Yeah. Next question.
Child. Yeah. Just when you think it can't get any worse, it can. And just when you think it can't get any better, it can.
I mean,
see, you should have saved your it's a tricky one for this one, because it's just vague enough. So, like, I feel like you don't even know how your game works, to be honest.
I'm not playing it, and I will be honest, and I mean, I hate to do this.
You
in front
are
of Pyle.
Playing it because you asked us if we all agreed with you that it was the answer for the last one.
You know what? Let's just skip this one.
This is the only good one. It's not good, but it's just better.
Yeah, because it's debatable.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's debate it. Then let's debate it. You don't have to come at me for the game. The game is working, clearly.
He's right.
Really?
But he's right, he's right.
I don't think you got here organically or in a smart way, but you accidentally backed into a pretty interesting question for the game that you made up. This one, for the first time, could go both ways. I don't think you get that, so I'll assume it's the Sparks one.
Yeah.
I definitely.
That one was Sparks. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't.
So far, the house is losing.
Don't ever think that he's trying to outthink us, because, yeah, there's nothing there.
One time, I put grapes in my nostrils, and I couldn't breathe. I cried out for help, but then my dad started smiling.
How many of these are there?
There's one more after this.
You said these are paraphrased.
Okay.
You said these are paraphrased. Is that a thing? Is that close to something someone said to you once when you were babysitting them?
I worked for not a recent divorcee couple, but more like a couple that got, they broke up after I went to college. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, a kid said this to me. It's the child one.
Got it.
This
got
is
it.
Our last one. Sorry. This is our last one. It could go either way for sure. This one, there is a citation needed, though. The only difference between my mommy's grape juice and my grape juice is that my papa doesn't police how many glasses I can have of mine.
I mean, that would be very poor writing, so I think it's probably a
I also just want to, you said it needs a citation.
This one is Sparks, I think.
No way.
You think?
It needs a citation because I don't know where I remember hearing this or reading this from, but I swear to God, this is Sparks.
Okay. What was the last two words of it? I think,
how many glasses
something?
I can have of mine.
Of mine. Yeah, that's a weird way to say that.
Yeah. You don't get the money to make your own school if your writing is that bad.
Yeah, also, okay. His work isn't like autobiographical, right? Like, it's all just random love stories.
Last segment.
If you had to guess which, hold on, sorry. Well, what Nicholas Sparks book do you think that is from?
I said that he either said or wrote. So I just assume that he maybe said.
It might have just been in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brings that out at a dinner party or maybe Sleeveless in Seattle.
Okay.
New game alert. New game alert. Zaki!
What was that noise?
Oh, that was just my
knuckles hitting glass.
Because I don't have a soundboard because I don't know how to do that right now.
Yeah.
But in post, it'll be a big ta-da, a big huzzah, maybe like a medieval times type thing. Subjective trivia. So we'll go person by person here. Pyle, what's the best Harry Potter movie?
Wow, I actually just recently rewatched all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe Prisoner of Azkaban. I think I like the best.
The correct answer is Goblet of Fire.
Which one is that? Well,
that's number
on.
Four. That's number four, where Cedric Diggory, in spoiler alert, but dies.
That one is pretty good.
You're going to have to bleep that.
It's been 9 years.
I think it's been a lot longer.
All right, Zach, is John Boyega good at acting?
Yeah.
Correct. All right, I'm going to Venmo you $100.
Holy shit.
God.
What's that?
For having that opinion?
No, for getting the question right.
Not a big deal, Amir. You don't have to make a big deal of it. It's just like what he's doing.
It's just a lot of money. And you already owe me several $100s, and you keep saying that you don't have it. So the fact that you're sort of flippantly throwing it away for a fake trivia game in which Zach said John Boyega is a good actor.
All right, Amir, let's see you do better. What's the best age?
Okay, and he did actually send it to me, everyone, so perfect. Awesome. Thank you.
Of course. Good guessing. Good game work.
Yeah.
Amir, not what's the guess. Best?
Awesome. I love this podcast.
Amir, what's the best age to die?
Sorry, you owe me $400.
From dinners?
Yes, from dinners.
What's the best age to die?
100. You lived a full life.
74. Sorry, it's 74.
That's still pretty young.
Because then you don't end up at, like, you know, in a home.
That's fine. 26 years extra, some of it in a home. That seems nice.
Marika, is your dad hot?
See, I... You've gotten worse and worse. Like, the questions, the first two were good questions, especially for me, like, a person that's really interested in just general, like, pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
You asked Amir how old is the best age to die, which is a lot of potential answers, and then you've backed me into a corner asking if my dad is hot or not, who's in his 70s, by the way, so that's... Obviously, I'm not going to answer this question.
A non-answer gets $50.
What the fuck?
Wow.
I gave you a non-answer.
Thank you.
This sucks.
You said
100. You said 100. And then Pyle, you said Prisoner of Azkaban, which was a close second. But you guys could have just forfeited your answer and gotten 50 big ones. All right, Pyle, is it better?
Also, he did pay me $50.
I forfeit my answer.
I didn't ask you a question.
My answer
I didn't
times.
Ask you a question. There's only two more questions to ask. So I could ask you, I might not. We'll see how it goes.
I'd love another question. All right. Let me just say.
Zach, is it better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all?
Okay. Getting into how you think. Yes, it is.
Correct. That's another 100 big ones. It's $200.
You're asking him yes or no questions. These are fucking coin flips for hundreds of dollars. You owe me 400 and you threw out a fucking one through 100.
I owe you 585 actually per your last email.
I mean, you're actually using your phone. Is no one recording?
He sent his money.
Are you serious?
He's sending it.
Yeah.
Do you know is this a write-off? Because I'm getting, this is like work kind of. Can I write off this money I'm getting?
Well, we're writing it off. I guess it's on HeadGum's. It's
awesome. Yeah.
You're like Willy Wonka.
All right, this is a toss-up between Pyle, Marika, and Amir. I guess I go Amir because you didn't win anything. This is triple or nothing. So if you choose not to answer, it's $150. And if you get the right answer, it's $300. Are you right now at the time of recording?
Double or nothing.
Are you hungry?
Also, I didn't win before either.
I only have six questions.
You're fucking bribing us to hang out with you.
$600 to just like give away.
You're a fucking maniac. You're an eccentric billionaire. You're a Willy Wonka man without any level of ingenuity. Ask me the fucking question.
I learned that you can actually dip into your savings. So just because you put it there doesn't mean you can't get it back.
Of course. Yeah, it's not a lockbox.
All right, Amir, are you hungry?
So if I get it wrong, I get zero. If I don't answer, I win 150. And if I get it right, it's 300.
Correct.
This is a fucking microeconomics game theory question. I have to look. I mean, there's no, you don't know if I'm right or wrong. So I'm going to, yes, I'm hungry. And that's right.
The answer that I have here, because it is subjective, trivia, is I could eat. So
yeah, that's hungry.
No, that's not that's defined. Hungry. Yes, that's more like depending on what you're gonna offer me, I might say
no.
Yes or
yeah, no. I'll eat. I could eat. Yes, that's what that means. I could eat.
No, I could eat. No. I don't think so.
I'm sorry, man.
You should have just not answered because you said that you were gonna game the mathematics, the economics of it. It's either 100% chance of 150 or 50% chance of 300. You just lost out over more than Marika got, and she got it right.
Yeah. Sorry, I fucked up.
You have one more question?
I have one more segment. Rosebud Thorne.
Sorry, we really need every segment to be cash-related now. Like, we want you to keep throwing money
you also
at
didn't
us,
ask.
Otherwise it's not
That's
really.
That's the only money one, and we're not going to do another money one ever on this show, I believe.
That's okay. The only money game?
That was the cash I had to give away. It was just... $300.
I mean, the game's the game, guys, and I don't know. I think like we could quibble about it or complain, but it's fair.
You won $200. You won $200.
I'm defending my friend. Like, I don't get why that's controversial. It's a fun game that
he
my
paid
friend came
you
up
$200.
With.
And by the
he
way,
paid
I,
actual
could,
cash.
I was right.
I played
I am
the game
hungry.
Well.
I played the game well. I deserve $300.
You
Jeff,
said 100 was
cash.
The best age to die, and you think you deserve money for that? It's obviously 74. I'd maybe give you 78.
The next game, you're saying there's no cash involved.
All right.
What's that?
It's for the podcast, for the next one. He left. He fucking left for that. So yeah. You say you're Thorn first, then you go Rose, then you go Bud. And it's basically the worst thing that happened to you this week, the best thing that happened to you this week, and then something you're looking forward to. I'll go then. Thorn is this virus, you know? It's like, obviously, 130,000 deaths. The mortality rate that was going down, but now it's going back up again, at least on a daily basis. Sorry, Marika, did you have something you want to say?
No.
Okay. So for me, that's the thorn, obviously, because we can't like do anything. You know what I mean? And I'm like scared to fly back home in a way. And then I can't really think of a rose. And then Bud, I guess, just when this whole thing is over.
Mm-hmm. You've kind of made it hard for us to do it.
Okay.
To do anything.
What would make that better?
Say, agree. It just feels like you're saying that's the only thing that you can feel that way about. And so then if we were to be like, my car broke down, that would it seemed like we were being selfish.
Oh, that would suck. That would suck. Did your car break down?
No, my girlfriend's side mirror got hit off when she was parked on the street. But again, that's not as bad as obviously the deadly virus. That's
yeah, but you can compare horrible, anything, so. You know, like Pyle's outfit may not be as choice as mine, but I'm not going to say that.
You just did.
This is not how I envisioned this going. I thought Marika was going to come in guns blaring with a thorn.
I mean, I don't have, there are too many thorns, so I don't really have anything specific.
Just name the worst one.
The worst thing that happened to
the
me.
The most personal to you, yeah.
I don't know, man. It's all pretty bad.
Your question
bad.
Is, what's the worst thing that's happened
that's
to you this
week?
That's
one part of it, and then you ended on two positives. Right?
It's just hard with no...
And you didn't do any positives, Jeffrey. You only did a negative.
You know what?
Let me did like a half...
Let me do it for you guys. Let me do it for you guys. What I think are the rosebud thorns for you. Marika, your thorn is that you can't... Is that Broadway is not reopening anytime soon. Am I right?
Sure. Yeah, that's a bad thing that I think about a lot.
Your rose is that... Work's actually been pretty interesting for you recently.
Don't know if I'd agree, but continue.
And what you're looking forward to is the end of this record.
Yeah.
All right, so I got 3 out of 3. Pyle, your thorn is that your house, which you've named Fishkill.
Sure.
It'll never be just quite right.
That's true. That is a thorn. I would not say that's that big of a deal. But it does. I do think about that all the time.
So, Zach, Andrew Pyle is very into his house, and because they bought this old cabin for cheap in upstate New York and then did it up very modern and cool. There's an outdoor shower.
You're into my house. I don't talk about my house as much as you do.
Well,
I only talk about it because you bring it up every time.
Kate, his lovely wife, her Instagram has like a permanent story where you can look at the progress of the house. So sometimes when I can't sleep, instead of counting sheep, I'll just look at his house. And that's your rose. Is how much people appreciate the work and time that you put into Fishkill. And your bud is when you can have people over again and you can burn things in a pile pyre.
You know what? I think actually that was pretty good. I feel better now.
Good, good. Zach, your... What's that?
Nothing.
Zach, your thorn is that your house sitting for your brother right now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your brother's kind of the thorn in your side. Because he's constantly asking you to do these things. And they're not small favors. He's asking you to live away from your apartment for months at a time.
Am I supposed to correct these now or wait till you're done with all of them?
Speak your piece.
I am enjoying house sitting. It's really nice. I prefer his place to my place.
And
so
that's the rose.
Actually, he's a really nice guy. Okay.
The rose is your kinship, your familial bond with your brother in the way that you can kind of share anything. Growing up, you guys would play together. You would read together.
Not really. He's a lot older than me. So we're like half brothers. He's like 17 years older than me. So we wouldn't really play like that. I mean, it kind of, but not really. Like,
okay. Then your bud is when he kind of sees you as an equal. Whenever that happens.
Shit. You fucking got me.
All right. I'll take 2 out of 3 or 2 out of 4. If you want to count Amir not even getting one. Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
I've told you about how you should watch What We Do in the Shadows. You shouldn't watch Devs or Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist or John from Cincinnati are camping.
And only those shows could have had.
No, I want to add a fifth. People should not watch Dateline.
That's not even a sitcom.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Zach B. Dunn. That's it.
Marika?
Follow me on Twitter at Marika Elon.
Pyle?
No, I don't have anything to plug. You don't need to follow me on Twitter. I don't post anyway. I guess follow other shows on HeadGum.
Yeah,
listen to our other podcasts.
It sounds like there's some really exciting shows coming down the pike.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are some good ones.
And I'll drop those names right here, and then if we have to bleep it, we have to bleep it.
So you don't have to listen to Dead Eyes podcast on HeadGum.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Hey Riddle Riddle.
Hey Riddle Riddle. There's a good episode coming out next
week. Why Don't You Date Me?
Why Don't You Date Me is a good one. And then there's another one, I think, that... There's another one that maybe you want to plug.
There's
maybe another, you know, there's a couple other ones that had gone.
Not Another D&D.
Not Another D&D is good. Not Another D&D is good. And then there's like
Doughboys.
One more.
Doughboys.
Great. I love it.
All Fantasy Everything.
Really
Punch Up the Jam.
Review.
A Funny Feeling.
Oh, who said, Pyle, I think you said that. Yeah, so listen to Review Review on the HeadGum Network.
No, I didn't say that.
I think it was Marika then. I definitely heard it. Someone said
no,
it.
I said a Funny Feeling.
That's fine. We'll see you guys next week. Shout out to Zach. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a blast.
And thank you guys for staying on till the very end. This is the first episode that we've had where people haven't left at the very end. And there goes Pyle. Yeah, Marika's gone.
Didn't realize that was an option.
And he's gone. So as soon as he realized it was an option, he left. That sucks. I was so close. I should have just ended it very fast before they had a chance. Because now I'm here again, sitting in my... what Pyle called a closet, but is actually my childhood bedroom. So, fuck.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.